Grace to you and peace from the one who was and who is to come. Amen. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On them has light shined. It is curious that our gospel should say that the land of Zebulun and Naphtali was a land of darkness, because in many respects, these two tribes of Israel had pretty good reputations most of the time. Just as curious is the notion that the way of the sea would one day become a great trading route, because historically it already was a great trading route. In fact, it's the main trading route between Persia and Egypt. Still, when Jesus moved into that neighborhood, it was as though the light of the good news of the gospel put all the other accomplishments of that area into the shadow of darkness. And the commerce of the great way of the sea would now become home to a new venture, not of capitalist venture, but of grace and mercy and peace. Compared to Jesus, those who lived in Naphtali and Zebulun, in what they called Galilee in Jesus' day, were living in the shadow of deep darkness. And now that the light of Christ had come to them, the very kingdom of heaven is at hand for them. The reign of Christ is among them at Capernaum. And Capernaum is located right at the top of the Sea of Chinnereth there. We know that better as the Sea of Galilee. So, what is this new thing that was going on in Capernaum? Apparently, Jesus was about the business of catching people. And it appears that he was quite a compelling fisherman. Upon hearing his call, Simon and Andrew left right away, leaving their nets and their boats and their family, which probably meant a whole set of relationships for customers, sales, service, and perhaps a stall in the local market and maybe even in markets in neighboring towns too. The same could be said of James and John, who left their father Zebedee as well. When they followed Jesus, they gave him their all, their commitment and their labor. Jesus not only moved to Capernaum, he set the village as the central place of his activities, his headquarters, if you will. They will read as he wanders through that land of Galilee. And here we see the a boat that they found when the Sea of Galilee dropped. They will return again. And to be completely honest, the disciples did not leave their nets forever. They did returning to their fishing, at least from time to time. And yet their commitment to Christ was insistent. Because he had come near, he had changed their lives, even as he has the power to do that with us today. Let's be clear about the order here. Jesus comes to the disciples first. They don't even know what they are looking for, if they are even looking at all. Jesus makes the first move toward them. And after they are invited to follow, then they leave their nets to be with Jesus. In other words, because Jesus has come close and proclaimed the good news, the world has changed. It is just as we sing in the Christmas carol every year, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive its king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing." Yet it is not we who prepare for Christ, but Christ who prepares our heart through the Holy Spirit to receive him. In Christ, we never receive what we deserve, but rather we get the good things which Christ has given to us. Christ comes into our midst with the good gifts of heaven, and we are given them in the here and now to use for his mission. We should probably clarify what we mean when the scripture says kingdom of heaven. Heaven is not some place. It is not far off in the sky or over there in some other dimension or across the planet on a high mountain, but rather the royal of heaven, or as the royal rule of heaven, or as sometimes we refer to it, the reign of God or the kingdom of heaven. God's presence comes near to us whenever Jesus comes near, and certainly that is when the good news is preached, when the scriptures are read, and also in, with, and under the bread and wine and water of the sacraments. Yet too, when someone says an encouraging word, when our friends touch our hearts with their care and concern for us, when someone reaches out to give us a pat on the back and says, well, job well done, when we help that person on the street, when we engage in the discourse of the community. In Christ we receive grace and mercy of God each day, which makes us citizens and participants in Christ's royal rule of heaven right here and now. Matthew is insistent that we do not wait for a latter day when the complete unveiling of heaven's reign to do a God's word and to follow, but rather that we start living and following in the here and now. Because as we sing in the carol, the Lord is come. Christ has already enticed us with the kingdom coming near and already bid us to come and follow. And yet we must ask, if we really follow like the disciples followed, do we leave behind our old lives and take up the new tools to fish for the people that Christ brings into our lives? Or do we just sit back in the pew and wait for others to make the first move? I'm afraid that we all do some of that. We may even give in to the ways of the world around us that go against the lifestyle of the people who are called to follow Jesus. Perhaps Justice Roberts was speaking to us this week when he admonished both sides of the aisle to use more decorum when we speak to one another about in these troubling times. The disciples who left their nets to follow Jesus and fish for people completely reoriented their lives toward the kingdom of heaven. Yes, they went back to their nets, but even when they did, they still followed Jesus and cast their nets onto the other side of the boat at his bidding. What is Christ asking us to do these days? Who has drawn near to us because they need to draw near to Jesus? What resources is Jesus asking us to use for the heaven's reign? And how will we follow Jesus this very week? Think about that. It is food for thought. Amen.